This is the Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today is about natural history museums. These institutions preserve the memory of our culture, and often that means the memory of things that are no longer here on this planet. We're going to take a trip now to one museum that is preserving a 65-acre forest as part of its collections, Fernbank Natural History Museum in Atlanta. And it sounds like preserving a forest shouldn't be so difficult, right? Sunlight, rain, let nature do its thing. But it turns out taking care of this unique exhibit means defending it from the very species meant to enjoy it. Here's reporter Stephanie Stokes.
I start at the edge of the Fernbank Forest with museum ecologist Eli Dickerson.
So I was thinking we could sort of follow the creek into the heart of the forest. There's a nice loop we can do around there.
Dickerson's bearded, hiker-looking. He shows me how these 65 acres of old-growth forest are like one big exhibit into how this region looked long before European settlers arrived. We look up at the thick tree canopy stretching 156 feet in the air.
Pretty tall. It's about a 16-story building.
We check out the forest floor, filled with dozens of native plants.
Just in front of us here, I see seedlings of beech trees, seedlings of sweet gum.
Then we go even lower. Dickerson bends down next to an interactive part of the exhibit, a series of little doors built into a hill. He opens one and we see the natural dark topsoil that helps plants grow.
This deep topsoil tells us something about people and the history of people in Fernbank Forest. This was never extensively logged or farmed.
In most places, that kind of human activity has washed the natural topsoil away. But while this lush forest may have never been cut down by people, it's hardly remained untouched. Dickerson takes me to a pond with a slope on the opposite side.
This is part of our namesake. This is what we refer to as the Fernbank Slope.
Once it was filled with different species of native ferns. But now we're looking at a hill that's mostly brown with just a little green.
So this mosaic that you see on the hillside, everywhere that is brown used to be solid green with English ivy.
An invasive introduced by people over 100 years ago. At Fernbank, it's crowded out at least a dozen native plants. The museum is fighting back. Dickerson leads volunteers and staff in ridding the forest of these familiar enemies, English ivy and also microstegium and monkey grass. And that makes this collection different from other museum artifacts. To protect the ancient forest, they can't simply let it be.
If I was to stop all of those ecological restoration activities within a few months to a few years, we would see English ivy crawling back up the trunks of the trees into the crowns. Eventually, the trees would die. It would completely cover the forest floor. So that would have a ripple effect.
And Dickerson worries that keeping invasive plants at bay may become even more difficult with a warming climate. A whole new array of these species from farther south could find their way into the forest. Still, he isn't deterred. He sees his work as more than just a daunting gardening project.
Although at face value, you might say, well, this looks like the forest in my backyard or down the street. I think there's a different feeling here. You know, you kind of slow down and think about everything that has happened here in this forest over the years and centuries and millennia.
After wandering a bit, Dickerson and I reach the edge of the woods again, and we say our goodbyes. Dickerson's excited to get back to work in the forest. He says he always is. For The Pulse, I'm Stephanie Stokes.